I want you to give us a call. 570-POD11, baby. Ooh. Give us a call. 570-POD11, hun.
Y'all heard?
Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard.
A podcast with me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
And we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world. From
food
to fetishes.
Celebrities.
To unsung heroes. From things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Hey, everybody. I realize I'm kind of late on this, but May 11th was World Migratory Bird Day. And since we have to run a rerun this week, I thought I'd make it bird-focused. So here's two of my favorite bird episodes that we've done, along with Marissa's squawking.
Marissa, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to talk about birds today.
Guys, I don't know if you know that I don't really like birds. Not as bad as I hate horses, but...
Yeah. And, like, I know I talked about ducks in the past.
Birding, bird punks.
Bird punks, yeah. This is a very...
You remember that awesome duck episode?
All right. First thing I want to tell you about is pigeons wearing cowboy hats.
They were glued to their heads, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this another one of your fascinating episodes that go all over the place? Like the duck one?
No.
Okay.
The birds have hats on, bro. Mr. Bobby Lee, not the actor, comedian.
Who's Bobby Lee?
Bobby Lee is the... He's an Asian comedian.
Nobody knows that.
From Mad TV. Okay. Exclaimed in a 12-second video that he later posted on Facebook. What I love about this is the Associated Press quoting him as, "The birds have hats on, bro." Let me play the video for you.
Okay.
So that you can really hear what Bobby Lee had to say.
Okay.
Fucking birds have hats on, bro.
Why is the music in the bed?
Because he's in his car.
Oh.
The shit you see in my neighborhood. These fucking birds have hats on, bro.
Okay, what's important to ask? Is he filming this because he's driving by the birds, or is he just deciding to upload a video of him saying that?
No, he was in his car and the birds were outside, like,
thank God.
Looking for food.
If he was
like
just
that.
Like, man gives his opinion on birds, and that's it, I would be really mad.
So, yeah, so this is in Las Vegas. He sees some pigeons with cowboy hats on, and he posts it to Facebook, and people think it's funny.
Oh, is that where it originated?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where it originated. So, listen, I grew up watching the Animaniacs. I remember the Goodfeathers.
Yeah, I didn't really
classic know them. Pigeon work.
Oh, yeah. In the realm of pigeon work, classic.
The god pigeon says that as head of the family, he feels obligated to amuse us with occasional teeter-totter pranks.
A beak full of sand is not comical. Is that comical?
The god pigeon thinks it's amusing. It's amusing. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of the advantages of being god pigeon, Pesto.
I wish I was the god pigeon. If I were the god pigeon, cooey, 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 fettuccine, cream sauce, parmesan.
But now they have cowboy hats on. And like Marissa said, they're glued to their heads. There's a lot of birds with hats on the internet. You can get a calendar of birds with hats on. There's,
Are they ethically sourced?
Yes.
Okay.
By Photoshop.
Okay.
There are also people who make hats for birds, mostly, like, domesticated birds. You know, so, like, it's not like they're fighting to get them off or anything like that. Birds with hats has its own Reddit as well.
What the fuck are you going to talk about that long?
So do birds with arms.
What is that?
Birds with arms is a meme sort of like trend.
I've looked at less obscure things to see if they have Reddits and they didn't. That's
birds
annoying.
With arms are pictures of birds, but instead of wings, they have arms.
I don't like that.
And I look at it with the amount of intrigue, disturbing... You know, that feeling that you get when you look at the whale, the squid and the whale.
God, guys,
or anything
that's
from
a
under
movie,
the ocean.
Squid and the whale. The natural history exhibit. Anyway, continue. I'm going to Google that while you do this.
Birds with arms or the squid and the whale?
No, maybe the squid and the whale.
Don't Google the squid and the whale. I'm going to lose you.
Okay. Birds with arms.
So cut to the chase. There's somebody out there who is gluing plastic cowboy hats to pigeons' heads. Yeah.
That's good.
Marissa is looking up birds with arms.
Oh, that's good. I'm done. Sorry.
They captured three of them. Before you drink, please. Billy the Pidge, Cluck Norris, and Koo Lamborghini.
No! Wait, who named them? The person who captured them? Or they had name tags on?
No, they didn't have name tags.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because I'm out of the realm of possibilities.
They only have cowboy hats.
That's a horrible name.
Which one? All of them?
All of them.
I like Billy the Pidge.
No, I don't.
I think it's stupid. Cluck Norris is too stupid. And Calamity Jane is just too much.
Can I just sidetrack to say the bus station I had to use... Guys, by the way, we're in the same place. The bus station I went in to come here was fucking filled with pigeons.
It's cold.
And it's such a dirty ass fucking place and nobody cares. Nobody shoos the pigeons out.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Greyhound station is fucking disgusting.
I can maybe explain to you why in a bit. Because I like how you're still trying to figure out what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. This is it.
I hate pigeons. Just the hats?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not that... I mean, it should be upsetting to me, but it's not, because I hate pigeons.
These birds were spotted by civilians who just happened upon them as the pigeons were, like, eating, walking around,
pigeons
doing...
are like riot.
Bird stuff.
Rats.
Rayettes. Once the clip from Bobby Lee got picked up by the media, Lofty Hope's Pigeon Rescue swooped in to help the birds. Mariah Hillman, a co-founder of the organization, drove around for a while trying to find the birds.
That's her day job?
At first thought, they have like 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, that's not her day job.
At first I thought, like, just leave the birds alone.
Because
they have hats on their heads, but, like, people get maimed and stuff all the time, and they live normal lives. So, like, if you were in a war and you got shrapnel in your head, it's not like they're like, ugh, take that shrapnel out.
Yeah, because, like, I'm sure there's no way you could safely take a glued hat off of a bird's head. Just leave it. I don't think it would hurt me every day if something was glued to my head, would it?
So that's what I thought.
Yeah. Why are you
laughing? Sorry, I just imagined you walking around with something glued to your head.
I mean, it was glued to my hair, that's one thing, but like, I don't know, continue.
That supposition is wrong, Marissa.
Oh.
As the Audubon Society explains, listeners, I would love to point out that this is the second time in podcast history that I have cited...
He has an agenda.
...the Audubon Society. Hillman has observed the birds trying to remove the hats themselves. Cluck Norris has been scratching at the hat and trying to shake it from its head, she says. He's constantly trying to groom himself and get it off. Calamity Jane's hat has loose feathers stuck to it, pulled out or worn off by the glue. Hillman worries that the hats make the birds more vulnerable to predators.
Why?
With a hat on their head, they'll be the last ones to see a hawk
coming
from above.
So you're going to say laughing stock?
The fact that she's...
Why would she be the last one? The hats are in front of their eyes.
The fact that she has spotted hawks in the area 2 days this week only increased her concern. Now, guys, listen. If you're paying attention to the story, you know that the... Sorry, I got to find their name again. The Pigeon Society. Whatever they're called. They took the pigeons captive.
Alpha Kappa Pidge. Continue.
So, like... I don't think there's a risk for hawks getting them when they're in captivity.
Also, see, the problem is that the pigeons want them off. But if the pigeons stop scratching at their head, they'd be fine. So what they should all do is wear hats near the pigeons so the pigeons feel like it's a normalized behavior and the pigeons just embrace their hats in their heads.
Yeah, Marissa, is that your answer to Trump, too?
Explain. Walk me through that.
I just heard normalizing the behavior.
Okay, continue.
The hat may be small, but they have an outsize effect on pigeon vision. That is fun to say. Okay. Try it. Pigeon vision.
Pigeon vision. Pigeon vision. Pigeon vision. If you could prove to me, fine, but Pixar didn't happen.
The species has 300...
Do you put a GoPro on a pigeon?
The species has 340-degree peripheral vision. So I can see, again, side of my head, I can see like, whoo!
But the hats are still on top.
Up to.
Oh. Okay. Does that make sense? That's cool.
Says Rita McMahon, director of New York City's Wild Bird Fund, which treats around 3,000 pigeons every year. That's huge. Much more than we see, she says. The birds have exceedingly sharp binocular-like focus directly in front of their faces and throughout the rest of their peripheral vision. They react strongly to movement. This I just kept in because I think it's bullshit. Which they instinctually investigate. That's why moving or waving objects like mylar tape have such an effect on a pigeon.
What's mylar tape?
It's the shit that like shiny balloons are made out of.
Oh.
The small plastic hats likely reduce the vision by half, McMahon says, limiting their peripheral vision to 190 degrees and making them sitting doves.
Pete, shut up.
For a predator from above.
They're not doves.
I had to do this all in one day. I had to find a topic and research it. The brim probably also impedes a quick escape. This part I love. The brim also impedes a quick escape by pushing off the ground and flying straight up, since the birds can't see where they're going.
Mm.
Calamity Jane, who appears to have been wearing the hat for longer, has adapted to the situation somewhat, Hillman says. She relies on her flock. When they fly away, she follows them. Mm. She's one of the last ones to fly away. She'll be the first to get eaten. That makes it dangerous for her.
See, this is a controversial statement, and I feel like some of our listeners who I know will be scandalized by this, but me...
It's not about a wedding, is it?
No! Me hearing about these birds and their plights is like the equivalent of me hearing like poor rats are getting hats on their head and rats are dying. Like, I don't care about rats, and I consider pigeons the rats of the sky. So therefore, it's like,
I
don't want them to die.
Right.
But I don't like
disagree
super
with you.
Care. I don't want them to die, but I don't feel like someone should spend every day scooping up hatted pigeons.
Yeah. And it's not like, all right, this is the, I don't know, maybe people pick on pigeons. But like, this is the first time I've ever heard of a pigeon being victimized in some way.
Because pigeons victimize us most of the time.
Right. I'm not disagreeing because some shithead above me throws old bread out on the balcony area.
I hope that shithead listens to our podcast.
And then they shit all over my porch.
Yeah.
Not the person upstairs, the pigeons shit all over my porch.
Are you positive it's not the people upstairs?
Yeah, well, I mean, if it is, then they shit like pigeons.
Why are pigeons shit white or gray and not brown? I think it's...
Enzymes. Let's just say enzymes.
Okay, continue.
This week, Billy the Pidge died.
Because of the hat?
In captivity, by the way. So it's not like a hawk got him, as they feared.
Did the hat kill
Lofty
him?
Hopes pigeon rescue employees say fumes from the glue used to affix the hats could have poisoned Billy
That's
the Pidge.
A little bit of fumes. No.
Employees say pigeons have fragile respiratory systems.
Oh, okay, I'll believe that.
And a veterinarian had to trim the feathers to remove the hats.
Okay, I do need to say, how fucking hard must it have been to put those hats on? Like, how did you get the pigeons to stay still?
It wasn't certain if the bird's death was connected to the hat. It's not certain.
It was just hat adjacent.
And it's also still unknown who put the hats on the birds. There is a little detail coming up.
Can they get prosecuted if they're caught? Putting birds in hats? Hats on birds?
I think so.
Mm.
Maybe. And as I said, I'm not really a huge fan of the pigeons in my area, but I'm not capturing them. I'm not putting hats on their heads. I'm not shooting them.
No.
Anything like that.
Have
I'm
I wanted
shooing
to kick them at points in my life? Yes.
Shooing instead of shooting? So,
I haven't kicked them, though. I've just wanted to in my mind.
I have to admit, of all the things that you could glue to a pigeon, feel like a hat is a pretty solid choice.
Yeah. I'd say top hats would be better, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or like church lady hats.
What about a sombrero?
Racist.
Racist? Yeah.
No, I don't know. No, it's...
A pigeon wearing a tiny sombrero was spotted in Reno, Nevada.
That'd be fun. Oh,
No, no, no. Are you listening?
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, okay.
A pigeon wearing a tiny sombrero was found in Reno, Nevada, discovered following the sightings of the cowboy hat wearing cousins, as it says, but I don't think they're blood related, in Las Vegas.
Tiny sombrero. Tiny meaning smaller than our sombreros, but pigeon sized, or tiny for the pigeon?
I personally believe that it's a little tiny for the pigeon as
well. Okay.
But they mean, yeah.
Okay.
Small plastic sombrero hats. Reno City Manager Sabra Newby tweeted about the bird on Wednesday saying it's quirky and fun, but still inhumane.
Just like Zoe Deschanel.
She is inhumane. It is the first known sighting of hat-wearing birds in the region, Washoe County Regional Animal Services officials said. Whew, that was a mouthful. The sighting comes after the pigeon in Las Vegas with the miniature cowboy hat glued to its head died earlier this week, animal officials say. People who see the bird are encouraged to call animal service dispatch officers.
Birds fly!
It's unclear who put the hat on the bird in Reno as well. Quote, Reno really cares about our animals. They need protection and don't need to become a punchline.
A baker's cap.
That's a pretty good one. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bake. You got no hands.
Yeah.
Further comment from USA Today might help with why the pigeons can take over the bus station.
Because they're gross.
While Washoe County Regional Animal Control has no jurisdiction over wild animals, the director urged people not to glue things to pigeons. They find this practice of affixing any objects to wild birds disturbing, inhumane, and strongly discourages this type of behavior. Evidently, pigeons fall into a gray area where they are not protected as domestic or wild animals. They're kind of like refugees being turned away at the border.
That's weird.
And so
they should just be wild animals.
They just hang out in a bus station.
So, Mariah, let me ask you this. This is a serious thing because it could be considered, and I think it should be considered, as animal cruelty. Can't you go to jail for doing something like that?
Unfortunately, pigeons and ringneck doves are not protected. So it's the same way we use our speech about certain people, like homeless people. You know, people have been coined rat with wings, and that is a line thing for a movie. It's not even a real thing, but it just kept getting repeated. So how we use our language about certain animals and certain groups of people seems to dictate how we treat them. So these animals do not have any protection under the law.
I don't understand the idiot lawmakers.
So it's like war on the pigeons, and they can't defend themselves.
So you could just,
there's nothing they can do.
So
in
you
response.
Could just you could just
so
on
a, are they looked at on the same level as like insects then?
Right. When I called animal control about a guy beheading ringneck doves here in Vegas, they said it's basically the same thing as stepping on a cockroach.
Wait, hold on a second. There's a guy in Vegas that is beheading. Can you repeat that?
No, it doesn't justify it. My bus station should want them to leave. My bus station doesn't let homeless people stay on our bus station.
It's because they're people.
Yeah, but why are homeless
people? Because they can't catch a bird.
They can shoot them out.
To pull back the podcast curtain, today is January 17th. Today, Lofty Hopes posted on Instagram a picture of the bird in the sombrero with the following caption. David John Rambo has admitted to being the copycat gluing sombreros to pigeons.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the pigeon.
In Reno. No. He said he glued hats to 7 pigeons there. We have a follower slash... By the way, this is written by the people that run the animal sanctuary. They spelled sombreros, sombrerios, which I thought was cool.
Oh, man.
We have a follower slash volunteer in Reno who located the pigeon that was spotted and shared on Twitter and will be making efforts to capture him or her, the pigeon. Apparently there is a group on Facebook called Pigeons in Hats encouraging others to do the same in their area.
My gosh.
Let's message this man, David John Rambo. By the way, it's spelled like French.
Rambo. Okay, nice.
I'm going to ram that bow.
Ooh.
Am I right?
With
enough people saying how horrible it is, hopefully others won't be inclined to follow suit.
But did he get any charges against him?
It just happened this morning. So I don't
know. We better get a...
But I will tell you this. Nobody in the... And they link to this Facebook group called Pigeons and Hats. No one in the group is encouraging anybody to glue hats on heads. They're pictures.
Oh.
And it's all like, yeah, it's like Photoshop stuff. Kind of like the bird with arms.
Oh, so leave them alone.
It should be noted that there was an important mistake made here, not just by me. The Lofty Hopes Instagram page said Pigeons with Hats as the group, but linked to a page called Birds with Hats. And the Birds with Hats page is very innocuous. But if you search for the group, Pigeon, apostrophe S, with Hats, with also an apostrophe S, then you would find David John Rambo's Facebook group, where he does encourage, for all intents and purposes, yes, the abuse of wild pigeons, along with many other supporters, which is just really weird. One such supporter, Matthew Putnam, has been suspended from Facebook for 1 month because he made a joke about having sex with pigeons. And also there appears to be someone who is questionably opposing Pigeons with Hats by threatening group members, including their children? Question mark. One more quick update. The gentleman seemed to recognize his grammatical error, and he recently changed the name of the group to Pigeons without an apostrophe S, with Hats still with an apostrophe S.
I think she got some bad info. Or maybe she just watched the news. From Nevada News Now, KOLO8, here is a report.
First spotted in Las Vegas last month.
Yeah, pigeons with tiny hats glued onto their heads. As we showed you yesterday, it showed up here as well. Ed Pierce has been looking into the story, and Ed, we have a copycat in our area?
Yeah, it would appear there's no copyright on inhumane humor or mental incompetence. It caused a stir last month when pigeons with tiny cowboy hats glued to their heads showed up in Las Vegas. Well, someone up here took note and, in a decision that showed more casual cruelty than originality, decided to do the same. City manager Sabra Newbury spotted this bird with a sombrero stuck to its head while on a ride-along near Sutro and 7th. She tweeted out the picture early yesterday. Now, who would do such a thing was a widely shared question on our Facebook page. Well, our newsroom received a call from a man who said he was the responsible party. He was puzzled and outraged at the reaction he was reading, saying no one cared about these birds until he gave them identity by...
How insane is that?
Yeah, that's...
No one cared about them until I gave them an identity.
That's a bit weird. It's like they wanted
a hat to their heads.
Fame.
He directed us to his Facebook page, assuring us that, yes, he is the man in the picture.
Why is he bragging?
At that point, he had done this to 7 individual birds. On a Facebook page, he invites others to join his Pigeons with Hats group.
Why is there an apostrophe?
Yeah, but...
Humor, but some don't think
guys,
Pigeons
apostrophe S with Hats apostrophe S.
Wow. Does he think, like, he's doing the pigeons a favor and giving them fame? Like, I don't understand. He seems like he wants credit.
It's so, so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny.
I feel disgusted that anyone, that a human being would treat an animal or bird badly. There's no excuse for torturing.
Marcy, do you think gluing a hat to a bird's head counts as torture?
I will say this. I don't think, until all these reports were done, I don't think anyone would assume it would cause them to die.
Yeah.
So maybe now after this conversation, maybe you could argue, but I don't think the person thought it was torture.
So you think that he is casting light on something that needs to be known? You are pro hats on
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I bet when it first started, no one thought it was as cruel as it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not pro it. I mean,
I also don't buy the fumes from the glue.
No, I don't buy that.
I think, yeah, like the bird died in your care.
That's so... Burnham adds, though, pigeons don't get a lot of respect, and many of us view them as pets. We should modify those views.
No, none of us view them as pets.
Pigeons are highly intelligent.
I think you meant to say pests.
Have long been used by a lot of us for tasks and sport. doing this to them, she says, is a death sentence, by the way. Aside from the injury from the glue, it impairs their vision, making it difficult for them to eat or feed their young. They mate for life, by the way, and support their young for as long as 2 months.
Are we supposed to like them more because they mate for life? That was weird.
Gray area. No state or federal law protects them, we're told by the State Division of Wildlife, though they gave us a statement calling this treatment ethically and morally wrong. That reaction was echoed by Washoe County Regional Animal Services Director Cheyenne Schull, who said her agency is monitoring the situation and finds the practice of affixing any objects to wild birds disturbing and inhumane.
Any objects.
She added, anyone with information should call them. They will investigate and work with appropriate authorities. Their number, 322-3647, or call 311.
No, again, I do not condone this. Not at all. But why do we need to know that they mate for life? Is that supposed to make us like them more?
Yeah, it makes them more romantic. You know, like humans mate for life.
presumably.
Okay, guys, so, you know, all right, maybe you don't know.
In a perfect world.
I think I might have a slightly obsessive personality.
Okay.
Would you agree with that in any way?
In certain situations.
Yeah.
Why?
I needed to find out everything I could about David John Rambo.
What?
So I look him up on Facebook, and he has one...
So that's the guy who glued the... If you're getting confused with all the names and stuff, that's not a pigeon. That's the guy who glued a sombrero to their head.
This is the sombrero guy in Reno.
Yeah.
He looks... From his face, you're like, oh, that looks like a pretty normal dude.
No, he didn't look normal. But then, like, I saw he looked like a chode.
He has, like, back tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying...
No, I got that vibe immediately. How did you not get that? He seemed like a trashy chode.
And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with back tattoos, okay? But
no, his, but you know his what is mean.
His name.
Yeah.
On his back.
And he probably used to say a girl's name, but they broke up, so he put his own name over it.
And he changed his... So that was his first Facebook, which was under David Rambo. But then he has another one called David John Rambo. That one was set to private, so I couldn't see much. Except the pages that he likes, which is Mommy Talk.
What?
Girls with Curves. BBW Picks.
ICP.
Big Beautiful Women Picks. Chubby Girls Do It Better.
Ew.
And Curvy Angels.
He doesn't like System of a Down or ICP.
No. I didn't check music. I just looked for the pages that he
has. Also, in his like about me, it's like, yo, I'm the man who made those pigeons famous.
However, I do have to disagree with the idea of attaching anything to a pigeon could be a bad thing. In 2016, pigeons helped measure air pollution in Europe because they wore little backpacks with sensors.
Aww. Were they glued to them, though?
They were strapped to them. Mm. They collected information, brought it back, and scientists use it to draw conclusions and make recommendations.
See, why didn't they put hats on with little drawstrings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the bird would be able to get it off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they didn't do it.
Yeah. No, how would the... How?
Just like, cool.
No, but it wouldn't really fit it. Like a bucket hat. Yeah.
In 2015, it was reported that pigeons with training... Guys, listen, I read this and I thought it was hilarious. By the way, I should explain. What I found most hilarious about that news report is the seriousness with which they threw to the guy.
Yeah.
Who did the report. In 2015, it was reported that pigeons with training can do just as well as humans in a study testing their ability to distinguish between cancerous tissue from a healthy breast.
What the fuck are you saying to me?
That's exactly it.
What does that mean?
With training, a pigeon can be just as effective as you at detecting breast cancer.
By touching someone's tit? How is a pigeon going to touch a tit?
In the picture for the article, it was looking at a screen.
What the fuck, Pete? That's not a measure of anything. Why don't they just, like, learn if they could, like, understand, like, social cues, a language, faces? That's so fucking random.
That's why I liked it so much.
Like... It might as well be, like, if they can tell if someone has Parkinson's. Like, it's just, like, why even breast cancer? Like, also, is it only breast cancer? Not, like, testicular cancer?
Yeah, they didn't.
They didn't test with other things.
I hate that. I'm pretending you never said that. Let me say
that. Also, in September of 2019, the BBC News released a very interesting piece about the role that pigeons played with the CIA during the Cold War.
No.
Sending messages and stuff. Carrier pigeons,
Okay, I know about that.
Yeah.
I know about
that. What do you think, they, like, took out people?
I don't know. They're finding people have fucking breast cancer. Maybe they're doing fucking Morse code.
So if they can help with all these things, like detecting breast cancer, measuring air pollution.
Are they really? I'm sorry.
And passing.
Are they actually helping with detecting breast cancer?
I know. Like, how did you get funding for that research? Because your whole hypothesis is, I bet birds can detect breast cancer as good as I can.
A lot of our schools are underfunded, but we're funding that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, like, your conclusion is birds can be just as smart as people. And, like,
with breasts.
So?
Specifically. Because we picked something so fucking specific.
The point being, don't put hats on birds, guys. If you...
Don't put hats on other animals, too. Especially not doggies.
Yeah, don't glue hats to on anything. Anybody without consent.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask for consent either.
No, if a girl's like, ooh, daddy, glue the hat on
By
me.
By the way, I swear that's what his mommy talk group, what he thinks that is.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. Honestly, maybe that is what it is. Ooh, daddy, glue another head on me.
Also, everybody, don't feed the pigeons bread because it has no nutritional value. It expands in their stomach. It makes them feel full, and then they starve to death because they're not eating anything nutritious.
The fuck?
Birds can eat rocks, too.
Does
digestion.
That kill them?
No.
But bread does?
I'm trying to think of what it would be like for people.
Like, a giant balloon?
Like, doesn't, you know how if you drink too much, you become dehydrated, but you're like, well, wait, I've been drinking all night.
I mean, I never think that.
Because of alcohol. I just said drink, I didn't say alcohol, so I wanted to clarify for the listeners. So then, like, you just keep on drinking, and then you're like, man, how did I get so dehydrated? Because, like, you're providing the illusion that you're taking
in
something.
And then I die.
But then, like, it's not hydrating you.
How many days does it fill them that they die?
You know, let me get a pigeon in here to answer some questions.
They can cure breast cancer. They can tell us why they die. They can tell us about their mortality rates. Bring a pigeon in here. I haven't got a mammogram in a while. Okay, thank you.
A little update on David John Rambo, who was mentioned in this episode. He has a YouTube where he goes live to feed ball pythons live mice. So I think he's still fucked up.
Marissa, do you happen to recall what the Audubon Society is about?
Either that street where you could drive in any street in Germany.
That's Audubon with an H.
Or something about trees or birds.
Yes.
Okay.
Simply on their site, it says, Audubon protects birds and the places they need today and tomorrow. Marissa, I am very excited to tell you about a piece that was published on their website on March 13th. You being you, the show being this show.
Please don't tell me about bird punks.
Yes.
It made it to me before this, and I was so annoyed.
In case you didn't hear Marissa clearly... It is with great joy that I present to you the subculture, Bird Punk.
This is a piece of trash propaganda that is on par with sea punks, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Did you read the piece?
I read parts of it, and I was like, this is some twat. You can be a punk that likes birds. It's not a subculture in its own.
I'm glad that you say this, because...
I'm not a cereal punk, because I'm a punk in my mind, and I eat cereal.
So... I discovered this because of a retweet. Katie Natopoulos, who's a delightful commenter on internet culture for BuzzFeed. And I am not here to do the obvious thing, which is make fun of bird punk, because it's called bird punk, and that's kind of goofy on its own. I don't really need to make fun of bird punk.
You don't. It makes fun of itself.
Bird punk. Bird punk marries two cultural trends, punk and birding. And I think a lot of us are like, what? Bird is a verb?
Also, what made me want to die is that article. First of all, like, the way it summarized punk in itself annoyed me, because it was just like, it just seemed like a really cliche, like, dictionary thing. But also, like, they kept referring to punks, I think they said punk rockers, punkers? I think they said punkers in the article. It was like my mom was telling me about punks.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm not a child. I don't care so much about how punk is portrayed. It's just like a nostalgic thing for me. But it made it sound like, it made it sound like it was taking punk very serious. Yeah. I was so annoyed.
We got this sort of snapshot from Marissa about punk a little bit. Wikipedia tells us that birdwatching, or birding, is a form of wildlife observation in which the observation of birds is a recreational activity or citizen science. It can be done with the naked eye, through a visual enhancement device like binoculars or telescopes, by listening to bird sounds, or by watching public webcams. Which, come on, that sounds like the best. I just want to have a bird webcam on my third monitor at work.
I only want it if they jokingly, like, frame it like it's a sexy cam. Like a cam girl, but it's just regular birds being
like
birds.
Boudoir, birdwar.
Yeah.
For the insider, bird punk has been around for years. And you are not, like, you're, like, not cool because you don't know about it, right? But for the outsider, like, even Marissa... The bird punks are nerds because they're called bird punks. But also for the outsider.
I refuse to accept their existence.
For the outsider, this is a new thing, okay? If you Google,
for the outsider, it's a new thing. Like two people said it 2 days ago.
If you Google bird punk, you will not find much that match. Much that matches. You will.
This
find,
is meaningful as when I said mummy punk existed, did one photo shoot. Told people it existed, and that's about as good as bird punk is.
You'll find a band, I think, that's called bird punk. You'll find, like, some Twitter handles that are people who took this name bird punk but aren't, like, associated with this as, a subculture or anything like that. So the Audubon Society really cracked this story wide open with a what I felt was interestingly written piece by Stephen Newman. I'm not going to hold the writer responsible, but obviously Marissa has some problems with his word choice.
I do. Very strong opinions.
He's an Audubon Society, like maybe he's a freelance guy, but if he's writing this piece for the Audubon Society, trying to keep in mind his audience, he focused a little bit less. He took that surface meaning of punk.
I guess so, but just no one should ever say punkers. I don't even think that's a word. Also, why do you know what's on the Audubon Society?
The thing is, I explained this was a retweet that somebody wrote, and I was looking for a topic, and I was like, bird punk, that's it. So this article, by default, has become the preeminent source on all things bird punk, and it profiles a couple of people who come from Marissa's backyard. The founder of Bird Philly, Tony Corisdale, and fellow
This is
bird
not
punk,
my city. This is not my backyard.
And fellow bird punk, Caleb Hunt. Let me first go to what Marissa was going to. I feel like I have a lot of problems with cultural identities, okay? I, for one, have always struggled with the fact that I don't feel like I belong to a cultural identity. Like, I've never really felt like I fit in much anywhere in life. So,
but Pete is actually one of the most punk rock people I know unintentionally.
So, to me, it becomes a little bit of a problem, right? Like, I bake stuff in my kitchen. Does that mean I'm a baker? No, because I don't get paid to bake goods. But I enjoy baking, so does that make me a baking enthusiast? You know what I mean?
He screamed you pigs to cops. Does that make him an anarchist? No. He just likes saying you pigs.
And me personally, sort of related to what Marissa
just mentioned.
You can
take that out if it's going to offend our cop audience.
Similar to what Marissa's saying, even if I was a paid baker and somebody said, hey, what do you do for a living? I don't know if I would say I'm a baker because I always have a problem with associating labels with myself.
Pete have master's degrees in writing. He doesn't call himself a writer.
If I am a one, so to speak, then I'm not a zero. So if I say I am a baker, then I feel like I can't be another thing. This cultural identity thing seems like a binary system. So now if I'm a baker who likes punk, does that make me bake punk?
See, I am gothic and I am punk in my heart.
Right.
I'm not goth punk.
The thing is, I learned much later in life that you can be many things. But for most of my life, I thought you're either a jock or you're not a jock. You're a nerd or you're not a nerd. You're a writer or you're not a writer. You're a cosplayer or you're not a cosplayer, that sort of thing. And since I have always had varying interests, I've never felt like I subscribe to an entire group. But now we have tons of nerdy jocks who cosplay all the time and cramp Marissa's Comic-Con.
Yep. Yep,
but
it's very annoying.
This becomes a problem when the culture's
conflict. You want that pure. You want that polarized thing. You want pure
yeah.
nerds.
Sometimes
you don't want hot cosplayers.
Different cultures can conflict with one another. For example, can you be a true artist and be part of the social elite? Will having wealth distance you from the art that you're seeking to create?
Ooh.
You know, that sort of thing. And now you don't belong to two cultures, but you act like you do. If you're a rough-and-tumble street basketball player, can you marry that with, say, drug culture successfully and be a drug baller? No.
This, what? Is that a... What?
No, it's not a thing. I'm trying to marry just stupid things together, like bird punk. No.
I would just say, first of all, I can never be a bird punk. I still identify as a punk. I know that's silly. But I think pigeons are disgusting. I think they're rats. I think seagulls are disgusting. And if a bird...
They're
even,
sea rats?
If birds f***ing touched me, I would be so grossed out because I feel like they're full of, like, mites or some shit.
Even ducks?
I don't want it to touch me. I'll look at it. I'll be like, ooh, nice. I'll support you. All I like are doggies.
Okay, but just in case, before we get off of it, no, you couldn't be a drug baller, because if you were a drug baller, you couldn't play basketball as well because you're on drugs. Just
you
putting
think
it out there.
Basketball players aren't on drugs?
Not the like types of drugs that I was thinking when I
cocaine
came up
would
with
be
that
great,
idea.
Sure. Cocaine would be great.
Next, let's consider...
For a basketball player. I'm not saying I think cocaine is great.
Just going to isolate that for the episode. Next, consider punk, okay? Different people have different definitions of what punk means. Like, if you self-identify as a punk, you probably have a much more complicated definition of what punk means than just being like, I used to listen to Green Day when I was in high school. A lot of people would be like, that doesn't necessarily make you a punk. But there's a lot of people who would be like, no, no, that totally makes me a punk, because I never bothered to dip into the culture enough to really understand what was going on.
Yeah.
So, the track of Corisdale begins with birdwatching with his father as a kid. Later in his life, he discovers punk, a culture that he subscribes to because of several characteristics like the DIY spirit, individualism, authenticity, upheaval in messaging and politics, all these kinds of things that you might associate. So, he took his love for punk and started a vegan thrashcore band called RAMBO in 1999.
I like everything. I just hate when veganism is, for some reason, always in something punk. Continue.
Which, again, yeah, this ends up making us laugh at cultural labels.
Yeah.
And I think that's the silliest part of this whole entire thing, because it seems like this is a dualistic mind, right? Like, I have to associate all these labels in order to get to what I'm trying to get to. And when I have all these labels, now I'm unique and I'm special because I'm not a vegan band. I'm not a thrashcore band. I'm a vegan thrashcore band.
See, why this annoys me is when I was young, I felt like I wanted to fit in with punk. So I dressed a certain way to make sure that people could immediately identify me with punk. And I almost felt like there was a certain kind of personality that was attributed with punk people. And, like, that was the kind of personality I got along with the best. When I got older, I realized that some people have way cooler personalities than quote-unquote punk people. They just don't feel the need to, like, show that they have wacky actions on the outside or show that they're really creative. Like, they just don't care about how they dress. And I always, like, affiliated, like, punk dressing with, like, creativity and, like, being, like, spontaneous. And I realized that that was wrong. So I just feel like when you're an adult and you're still, like, using those terms, it's, like, I feel like it's, like, putting yourself backwards and, like taking away everything you learned in as an adult to, like, not judge a book by its cover. Does that make sense? I feel like I said that in a weird
context. It does.
Okay.
And that's where I was sort of like, I wonder if these people call themselves bird punk or if just the writer was like, here's a unique and new and interesting thing I can write about for the Audubon Society. And maybe he put it in front of those people and they were like, I mean, okay, that's fine. And then they just kind of published it. So I wondered how much there was, or like how much complicity there was.
I really hope it was that way.
Because if you take a look at them, they're just people in clothes looking at birds and they have tattoos.
I mean, there is a thing, there's a punk style, but what is the difference between a bird punk and a regular bird watcher besides that one of them looks in punk? Like, I don't know.
One of the people, perhaps you could help with this because I tried to find this online, but I couldn't. One of the people identified herself as a, quote, committed punk. What does that mean?
All I would take from that is that she really takes punk seriously.
Self-identifies. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like she's an aging punk and that's how she chooses to keep identifying as. Yeah.
Okay. It was just in quotes and I was like, oh, that looks like a term. And then when I Googled it,
No, I don't think that's really a term.
Neither is bird punk.
I would assume she means that she maintains a certain set of ideals, though.
Right.
Yeah. Like DIY ethics, open-mindedness, independence, being free from conformity, that kind of stuff.
So, it should be no surprise, with all those precepts that Marissa just mentioned, that the philosophies of punk and birdwatching cross over a little bit. Seems like there's very little to be shared, except there's something to it. Tight communities of regulars who trust each other and know one another. They engage in behavior that's outside the norm. And they may seem outcast from society for being a little weird. The punk ideals lead to environmentalism, which would reveal how corporations threaten sustainability of Earth. Or, quote, when Corisdale was 12, he realized that the government and, in general, society couldn't be trusted to steward the planet and its resources. And so if you take a look at that and you're like, f*** the man, punk, and you see that the man is sort of ruining all the cultures that a bird can live on, or, you know, like, yeah, the atmospheres, that sort of thing, then you might be like, oh, I get it. Makes sense that a punk would be into bird watching. Capitalism sucks. Capitalism threatens wildlife. Therefore, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, they also sort of mentioned playing loud music in tiny venues is cheap, and so is grabbing some binoculars and a bird guide and just going out into the wilderness to look at birds. So, if you think that birding is just bird watching with binoculars, then you may run into a bit the problem that I have with this whole thing, which is, what exactly is the goal here? Why are you doing what you're doing? Birding is not exclusive to seeing a bird and going, hey, that's a black-capped chickadee, and then looking for some sort of other species out there. Sometimes you continue to observe that bird and see how they live, what they do, how they interact with others, that sort of thing. Further, you stand for the preservation of that bird's home, and so you are developing some sort of personal philosophies as well. And so, you know, you stepped your activist foot forward, and now you have some action. You can sort of advocate for wildlife and that sort of thing as well. Let's not forget, birding itself means being in nature, doing a light hike, something like that. So that's something that you can also get out of this particular culture/subculture. And then, going back to what Marissa mentioned, we cannot forget the aesthetics either.
Yeah.
Go get yourself some bird tattoos, like the three vultures, or a belted kingfisher like Corisdale has on his legs.
Does that mean, is that a kind of bird, or is it a kingfisher with a studded belt on?
Yeah. No, it's kind of bird.
I kind of like my idea too. Better.
The article then says Philadelphia is not the only place that has bird punks.
I'm sure Portland does.
They go to Washington State.
They go California. To?
No. They talk to people from Washington State and California.
The bird punks tour.
My favorite part is part of the article that says, we estimate that there are dozens, maybe hundreds of bird punks around the world.
Almost as many people as are f***ing horses.
So, yes. So now we come back to,
how many people do you... I bet there's a little bit of overlap somewhere.
How many people do you need in order to define this as a subculture, right? Mm. And that's kind of the thing that I was left with. Exactly what Marissa started with at the beginning. Can you be into punk and be into birding without being called a bird punk? Why do we make these labels exist, especially in a culture where it seems like labels aren't really a good thing?
Yeah.
But now you're imprinting this label upon yourself, and so I just kind of thought it was an interesting read, and it also kind of came back to those questions that Marissa and I have laughed at over the years many times. You know, like, people complain about hipsters, and it's like, and you can go back to the hipster episode that Marissa did, and it's kind of like, well, what exactly is a hipster, and how can we complain about it, you know?
And I have to say, bird punks could go one of two ways. Either there could be these, like, more punk rock people that enter the bird watching scene, and they feel a little left out, maybe because there's a certain prevalent type that's in the birdwatching scene. I don't know. I'm just speculating. And so maybe, like, they made this little group so they could feel more like they have their kind of people around them. Or I feel like it could be alienating. And, like, they're the cool kids in the birdwatching scene. Like, I just hope it's the former, not the latter. And it's not some sort of, like, we're our own kind of birdwatching thing. Like, the old-fashioned type. Like, we're cool.
This ain't your daddy's birding.
Exactly. I hope it's like a positive, welcoming thing.
I don't know about you, Marissa, but the first thing I think about when I hear the word punk is punk music.
Mm-hmm.
Punk music is loud, and it's meant to be, you know, like, it's meant to get you going and, like, disturb you a little bit. Not, like, always in a bad way, but, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ain't no birds want to hear that shit.
I would say yes. The only thing that I think is why I could kind of visualize it is because I had a phase of folk punk where it was like this, like, almost like country-esque, and it was like more chill, and they were like, I almost feel like it was like overlap between like punks and like hippies.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like subsect of punk that's like a little more chill, a little more airy fairy kind of stuff. And I feel like I can imagine that being a birding thing. I don't really see people like listening to like Minor Threat or like thrash, like, that guy was in a thrash band, so what do I know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I visualize a certain kind of punk going to that. But hey, what do I know? I don't know everything. I mean, I guess that could be cool.
So yeah, in summary, listeners, there are some people that participate in the act of birding or bird watching that also subscribe to the traditional values that are associated with punk.
Do you think birding would be fun? How about ducking?
Ducking would be part of birding.
Yeah, but specifically for ducks.
Of course I think it would be interesting. One time I walked around a lake with Lisa, our friend Lisa, and she told me what trees different leaves came from. And I was like, this is cool.
That's kind of fun. Yeah.
And so being able to identify birds and stuff like that, I think it would be an interesting thing.
I don't think it all depends on my company, really. But yeah. Birds in and of itself, I couldn't.
Yeah. I am not going to go to a birding, like, meetup or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because just like writing, I'm terrified of who's going to show up.
I bet the punks, after they bird, or I bet someone does, like, a Facebook meetup and it's like, Birds and Brews, and then they go have Pabst Blue Ribbons afterwards.
But no, it's BRUISE. Because we mosh while we look at birds.
I like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, you came for beer? I'm straight edge. So, bird punk is a thing, guys, and it's something that you now have to tangle with.
I have a challenge to you, listeners. Make up your own type of punk.
Yeah.
Tell us, give us the hashtag, I'll start using it. If you say duty punk, I will start using it. If you say fruity punk, I will start using it. If you say choco punk, I will start using it. I dare you. Send me a punk hashtag and I will use it.
If you want to sort of like be a punk, but like wear a costume that's gigantic with a bunch of feathers, maybe you could be big bird punk.
If you want to dabble in magic, but still be sort of religious, call me. We can be magic punks together.
Yeah, yeah.
I have two other people in my magic
Marissa,
punk.
Yeah, Marissa's tried that.
Yeah.
This is sort of a thin topic, and that's the end of it.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.